Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to Jules Says. Thank you for being here today. I hope you'll rate, review, and share Jules Says. All opinions and perspectives in Jules Says are mine because I write it, produce it, record it, edit it. Unless I have a guest, then some of their perspectives are here. But today it's just me. I was in Florida this past weekend. That's right, good old FLA, where all the Ontario olds go for the winter, snowbirds. Where all the young people go, or used to go, for spring break, drunken debauchery, wet t-shirt contests, think Girls Gone Wild vibe. I know there's been a lot about U.S. politics in the news over the past few years, and more than a few stories that feature Florida, the Sunshine State. But as Catherine said when she went to do a gig in Dubai, if you're going to turn down work, or in my case, a lovely little trip with friends, due to the politics of a place, take a look at where you're living. Nowhere is perfect. No one is perfect. God knows I'm not perfect. I did give it some thought, though, I'm not going to lie. After all, the things you hear about Florida, rootin', tootin', shootin'. Mind you, open carry isn't legal, but carrying a legally owned concealed weapon without a license, background check, or training is. Ugh. I'm probably safe, though, because none of my exes live there. Book bans. Ronnie D's war on wokeness, which I still have a hard time understanding. Because to me, woke just means being considerate of others, even if their lives and opinions differ from yours. I totally agree that we should make an effort to combat vicious pylons. But punishing people for, or criticizing them for being considerate just seems as bad. No wonder Florida is having such a hard time filling teacher positions. Between book bans and they're not allowed to say things, I think it's a very hard job. My children certainly had plenty of teachers who said things I disagreed with. And when they came home with this stuff, we would discuss. Because going to school is not all about the curriculum. It's about also learning how to get along with people, how to work in groups, how to show up on time, take responsibility for what you have to do, learning how to think critically when someone says something you disagree with, learning to discuss respectfully even if you disagree with someone, learning that the boss or the teacher is not necessarily always right, learning that we don't live in a binary world that's right or wrong. People, situations, perspectives are always nuanced. And it should be okay to discuss all these things respectfully, but discussion also requires that we listen. But listening is the hard part, isn't it? I haven't been to Florida since probably 2001. I think it was 2001. I just started dating Abe really in 2000, so it must have been 2001. So my relationship with Grandfather Abe the Babe was still new. We were definitely just dating. We dated for 8 years before we lived together. And one weekend when the girls were at their father's, we took a little trip to Florida. And going to Florida back then was like nothing. It was just a quick trip. We're on the same time zone, so there's no jet lag. A lot of people drive to Florida. I drove with my friend and her children in 1982. I got my first and only, touch wood, speeding ticket in Georgia. If you have two drivers, you can get to Florida in probably about 24 hours or less, depending on how far south you go. But of course, you need time off to do that. And Abe and I were just going for the weekend. And pre-9/11 flights were a lot more relaxed. You could pack toiletries. A checked bag was almost always included in the airfare. And the airport staffed enough baggage handlers back then. So you could usually get your bag without waiting forever after landing. We drove to Detroit, Rock City, Michigan. So it was a domestic flight. We cleared custom at the Sarnia border. Abe recalls that we went to Clearwater. I asked him because I couldn't remember. I'm not sure. I thought we went to Dunedin because the time before that I was in Florida was the Easter after my mom passed away. She had left me, well, each of us, a little bit of money, and one of my brothers had rented a condo in Dunedin, and I took the family down there to join him. That was kind of like my little treat with that bit of money. The point is, I'm not a frequent traveler, even to a place as easy to get to as Florida, and it's been a while. And the political climate has changed a lot since 2001. It might sound silly, but I have to admit I was just ever so slightly leery about going to Florida. I arrived in Orlando on Friday shortly after noon and met two of the other gals at the Alamo car rental desk in the terminal. We drove just over 2 hours to St. Augustine, where our friend Mimi lives, works, and owns a lovely Airbnb where we stayed. I had never been to St. Augustine, but if you ever get the chance to go to Florida, I highly recommend it. It was founded, or should I say colonized, by the Spanish in 1565, making it the oldest continuously occupied settlement of European and African-American origin in the United States. It didn't take me long to think it would be pretty nice to be a snowbird myself. The breezy, balmy air, sunshine, beautiful beaches. It was gorgeous, and I loved it. And of course, we have to remember that what we see and hear in the news is news or clickbait. It's not necessarily an accurate reflection of the day-to-day normal lives that people are living. We went out for a beautiful dinner in a restaurant on the water, and they just had exceptional service. The service in the U.S. is fantastic. If you haven't been there, you go into a restaurant and they fall all over you. It's really, really good. Now, they expect to be tipped well, but the service is good, and I'm happy to tip well. All the gals walked downtown to see where Mimi had gone to college. She's not originally from St. Augustine, but she ended up going there for college and then ended up moving back as an adult a few years after. The architecture downtown is just beautiful, Spanish-inspired. And there are so many lovely little shops, restaurants, and bars. We went to a farmer's market that isn't just food stalls, but all kinds of booths with really beautiful artisan crafts and specialty foods, soaps, sculptures, paintings, furniture. There was a guy who had a booth who made furniture out of driftwood. It was gorgeous. And there was a group of musicians who get together on a stage and just jam. Mimi said they're not in a band together. They don't necessarily rehearse together. They just show up and jam. It was great. Later that day, we had drinks on a yacht. And this yacht had the most beautifully appointed kitchen. That kitchen was nicer than a lot of kitchens in people's homes. A friend of Mimi's owns the yacht and called her and said, "Do you want to come by for a drink?" And she said, "Well, I would, but if I do, I'm bringing along a group. Is that okay?" "Sure, bring them along." And they were so nice. We had margaritas on the yacht and a few snacks. And later on, we walked along the white, silky, sandy beach, swam in the warm, salty waves of the ocean. Later that evening, we went on a boat cruise, which I wasn't able to fully appreciate, if I'm honest, because by then I was a little bit day drunk. Before the drive back to Orlando on Sunday, we went out for the most delicious brunch at a Mediterranean place where the owner came out and chatted with us, introduced us to our server. "This is Diego. He will look after you." It was really, really lovely. Stupid me, though. I left my phone in the rental car when I dropped it off at the airport. How could I do that? It's because I'm not carrying a purse. I got out to get my luggage out of the back, and then there was a big lineup of people dropping off cars, and I just completely forgot that my phone was in the car. But the young man at the customer service booth was so kind and so calm. I felt like such an idiot, but this guy just calmly assured me that they would find my phone. And he even radioed multiple times to people handling the returns at the back. And then he finally just walked back there to see if they had it. Luckily, I had arrived hours in advance of my flight because one of the other gals had a much earlier flight. So I had time to wait. But still, I was so annoyed with myself and especially worried that my phone might be gone because it's in a case with my credit cards and my driver's license. So I was a bit panicked about that. And I said to the guy, "I feel actually pretty panicked right now." "I'm sorry," he said. "He's sorry? I know it's stressful, but don't worry. You'll get your phone back. It's just a big operation here, so it might take a little time." What a lovely, sweet young man. I really appreciated his empathy for me. There really are a lot of very kind people in the world. Every single person I met on that trip was so lovely. I didn't see one gun or even one frustrated or rude person. Can such lovely people really want books banned or a war on woke? Woke must mean something entirely different to them than it does to me. That's nuance and perspective for you. And the news probably is exception reporting and clickbait. It doesn't seem like that's the norm of people's day-to-day lives there. So now I want to buy a place in St. Augustine and spend the winters there. It's probably not going to happen. But even if it never does happen, I really do want to go back one of these days with Grandfather Abe. And this time, I'll go for long enough so that I can do all those touristy things that I love and everyone else in my family hates, like go to all the historical sites and take my time reading all about everything. I highly recommend St. Augustine. And if you're thinking of buying property, I know a really, really good real estate agent there. Let me know.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One thing I noticed about the ladies on this trip that had never occurred to me before, and I've been on a trip with them before, or to dinner or a show. I was the only one of that group this weekend who had children, although some of the others are stepmothers and aunties. And one of the friends said she had never married because she was too picky. Too picky? I don't think you can be too picky, I said. Or were you just not willing to settle? I think it's the latter. And I think that's a good thing for anyone, not just women. Having a partner can have its rewards. Absolutely. But so often, it can also be really challenging, even if it's just the little things that annoy us or the little things about us that annoy them. Financially, I think if we could all do it, and I've said this for years, financially, I think most of our relationships would be better if we kept separate homes. If we all had our own space where we could go when we needed to, where the other person has no jurisdiction on how you decorate or your mess or what you eat and vice versa. If they want to live with a mess, they can do that at their place. If they want to eat steak and you want to eat salad, they can eat steak at their place and you don't have to cook it for them. You don't have to listen to them snore. They can do their own laundry. Having that space might make you appreciate each other more when you do get together. The problem is, so many of us, or most of us, are just getting by even when we share the costs. So aside from the societal expectation of conforming, we're highly motivated financially to live together, especially in the beginning when you can't get enough of each other. And I've been seeing so many videos and clickbait from men, young men, which surprises me. Well, I never see them from old men. Anyway, a lot of these men say women who want to live their lives for themselves rather than spend their lives in service to nurturing others, i.e. men, selfish. If we drew a Venn diagram of people who think women are gold diggers and people who think women should devote their lives to serving a husband and children, I bet there's a big overlap. And if you want someone to serve you, fine, be prepared to shoulder the majority or even the entire financial burden of supporting your servant and your offspring. These guys, they so often just expect a lot of free labor from women while simultaneously calling women gold diggers. You can't have it both ways. You want someone to have time available to look after you? You better be willing to support them financially. You want a woman who's beautiful? You better be willing to spend some money. We don't just wake up beautiful, especially as we age. I just don't understand why any man or any person wouldn't prefer a true partner who's happy to see them, share responsibilities with them, financial and otherwise. It would be cheaper to hire a cleaning person and order your food in than financially support an entire family on your own. And often these guys comment that our grandmothers were happy, and if it was good enough for my grandmother, it should be good enough for you. Well, sure, they were happy if they happened to choose a good partner. But we all know so many women who were married because they had no choice, especially in the olden days. Or even if they did have a choice, they may not have really believed that they had a choice, so they just went along with societal and family expectations. I've been reading a book by Dr. Gabor Mate called When the Body Says No, The Cost of Hidden Stress. And he talks about how the medical community often treats the body as a separate entity from the mind. And research on the effect of long-term emotional repression on illness, and he goes into research on the effect of long-term emotional repression on illness, including autoimmune diseases, cancer, ALS, for example. Two of my children have autoimmune diseases, so yeah, I look on what I may have done to contribute to that. I was definitely wound up and stressed. And historically, women have been expected to punch down their wants, their needs, in service of everyone else. And we've usually learned this from childhood. And that's not only a crappy way to live your life. It can cause you to get sick, according to some of this research. The other insidious thing about it is that punching down everything feels normal if you had to do so from childhood, which a lot of us have had to do. I certainly punch everything down, and I'm trying to remember if there were any specific events in my childhood that started the pattern. Not that it matters, it's just that I like to understand things. It wouldn't change anything, but I like to go, oh yeah, this is why. But I can't think of anything specific. I think because children are incredibly intuitive, they just know that they shouldn't express certain wants and needs, or certain topics are taboo. We learn this when we're babies. And of course, parents should teach children as they grow up how to express themselves constructively. You can't kick, bite, scream, behave like that. But somewhere in there, depending on your personality, there's a middle ground. And children deserve to learn that how they feel and what they want matters, that they are loved, not for how pretty they are or athletic or smart or entertaining they are, but just unconditionally loved for who they are. They deserve to learn that if they're upset, someone cares and someone is there to love and comfort them. And mums can't necessarily provide that care if we're depressed or sick or if we have our own mental health or addiction issues. And when I reflect on how I was with my own children, I loved them and I did spend a lot of time with them, playing, singing, reading to them, and I had them alongside me as I did housework or cooking, but I certainly expected too much from them. And even though I always had to go to work, they had the stability of Val, the best-hearted woman imaginable, who cared for them when I was at work as though they were her own. She used to say that she felt as though Joanne was her baby. Well, Joanne was a baby when she started with us, and that's why. And on last week's episode, I mentioned how well Carrie dealt with boozing men in the service industry. And of course, I thought nothing of it. I believed that growing up with a misogynist drinker had its upsides, one of which was learning early how to deal with inappropriate behavior. I grew up expecting inappropriate behavior from men, but not everyone grows up that way. Over this past weekend, of course, Women Talking, we covered a lot of topics, reminisced about work. All of us met through work at some point. That's how we're connected. Mutual acquaintances, mutual colleagues, health challenges, and growing up. One of the ladies said her father would not allow her to work as a server when she was young because he didn't want her exposed to the kind of bad behavior that Carrie is so adept at managing. Wow. Remember, we came of age in the 70s and 80s. She would have been 80s because she's younger than I am. And things are changing, but wow. That tells me that her father didn't think lecherous behavior was acceptable, but he knew it existed, and he didn't want his daughter to be exposed to that in her work environment. Mind blown. Another one of the ladies told about her first job as a server, probably in the late 70s because she's maybe a year older than I am. And on her first day, one of the customers, when she asked for his order, said something like, "I'll have a bit of you on the side," or something to that effect. And as she's telling it, I'm thinking, oh, yes, go on, another normal day in paradise. And she tells us she basically told him to piss off, not in those words, because she's not that kind of person. And she got fired after her first day, and she never took a serving job after that. Her father told her he was proud of her and didn't really want her serving because of that, but let her figure it out for herself. I cannot imagine how it must have felt to be so protected, to grow up believing that you didn't have to put up with that behavior, that you didn't learn how to manage that behavior, that you would be allowed to say no and walk away from that behavior. I know lechery is not quote-unquote normal, but it is fairly common, especially in an environment where there's a lot of drinking. I also know there have always been decent men, lovely fathers, even back in the Mad Men era. But the nasty ones, guys, are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. It's no surprise that all my friends I spent this weekend with grew up to pursue higher education, to become successful professionals, and none of them settled for a man who treated them disrespectfully, because they knew at an early age that what they wanted mattered. Their well-being was important. They didn't have to be nice to someone who was potentially threatening their well-being or what they wanted. And when I see these clickbait videos from young men, I'm concerned because I worry about the vulnerable young women who will settle for misogynistic abusers, and together they'll raise more women who think their needs don't matter and boys who think women were put on this earth to serve them and procreate. A decent man knows he'll be happier with a true partner than an obedient servant who's going to resent him sooner or later and probably make herself sick and set the stage for their children to feel that way as well. But on the upside, wherever I go, I meet so many nice people. So it gives me confidence that maybe the trolls are not as common as they seem, just as bad news reports and clickbait are often based on the exception. These trolls are just really, really loud. Yeah, that's what I'll go with. Thank you for listening. If you have anything you'd like to share, email me at jewelsays@gmail.com, or you can DM me on Instagram. Stay safe and choose well. And visit St. Augustine.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.